Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 273, stanzas 1 through 3, 5, and 6. And thou, O Jehovah, shalt endure, thy throne forever is the same, and to all generations sure shall be thy great memorial name. 1 through 3, 5, and 6 of Psalter 273. scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in Psalm 45. Psalm 45. But first we will read the holy law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And thou shalt have no other gods before me. And thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. And thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, and thou shalt not commit adultery, and thou shalt not steal. And thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Psalm 45. To the chief musician upon Shoshanim, for the sons of Korah, Mashkil, a song of loves. My heart is inditing a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore God hath blessed thee forever. Gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty, with thy glory and thy majesty. And in thy majesty ride prosperously because of truth and meekness and righteousness. And thy right hand shall teach thee terrible things. Thine arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies, whereby the people fall under thee. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore, God, thy God hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. All thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia out of the ivory palaces whereby they have made thee glad. King's daughters were among thy honorable women. Upon thy right hand did stand the queen in gold of Ophir. Hearken, O daughter, and consider and incline thine ear. Forget also thine own people and thy father's house. So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty, for he is thy lord, and worship thou him. The daughter of Tyre shall be there with a gift. Even the rich among the people shall entreat thy favor. The king's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is of wrought gold. She shall be brought unto the king in raiment of needlework. The virgins, her companions that follow her, shall be brought unto thee. With gladness and rejoicing shall they be brought. They shall enter into the king's palace. Instead of thy father shall be thy children, whom thou mayest make princes in all the earth. I will make thy name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore shall the people praise thee forever and ever. So far, the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer this morning the young Peter van Warthousen, who had an accident this past week. Also, Mr. John Niels, who was in the hospital in this past week. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God, who art holy, who art righteous, who art just, but who art also long-suffering, and whose long-suffering does show itself day by day to us and to our dear children, that thy justice and thy righteousness that has not yet set itself against us in the way of an eternal sentence, to cast us from thy presence as we so justly deserve. But thou still sparest us with our children and givest us our life, our health, and our strength, and the ability and the desire, or perhaps even merely the custom, to come up under the preaching of thy holy word, to come up round about thy holy testimony, that thou still bearest with us, though our hearts are so inclined to this world and to all that is vain and carnal, that thou still permittest us to continue in this life, while we provoke thee to thy face moment by moment, under all the blessings and under all the mercies bestowed upon us in an outward way. O Lord, that thou may break our hearts, that thou may break our hearts as parents, but also with our dear children, that thou still givest us the opportunity, and that thou still dealest not with us as we so justly deserve. But, oh, do break thou our hearts in this morning hour, that thy goodness may lead us to a true repentance, and that we may not be left over to the hardening of our own hearts, but that our hearts may be made soft by the working of thy Holy Spirit, that thou may descend upon us as the dew, that thou may soften us, that thou may grant us hearts that may be able to receive a true impression, a saving impression of thy Holy Spirit, hearts that may turn away from all our iniquity,
that we have sinned against thee, that it may be our greatest burden and sorrow, and that we may have a desire that we may return unto thee again. Lord, that thou may show to us our creation, the blessedness of thy service in which thou hast made us, and how that thou hast covenanted with us, that we ought to obey all thy commandments, that thou hast given unto us the ability and the desire, that thou hast promised us an everlasting life upon a perfect obedience, but that we have turned ourselves, even in that state wherein we have been created in the perfection of thy image, in knowledge, righteousness, and in holiness, that we have made a free choice to walk in a different way, to seek our own honor above thee, to make ourselves as gods, make our own choice of that which is right and that which is good. O Lord, then we have fallen so far away from that perfection, that we have fallen so far away from that image, that we have brought upon ourselves the greatest of miseries, that we do not even realize how deeply that we have fallen, that we have in this day by nature a better thought of ourselves than it is in the reality, that we do not see, that we do not feel that we are dead in sins and in trespasses, but we think ourselves with all our outward religion able to be pleasing unto thee, and that we are able to worship thee, and that we are able to live according to thy law, and that we think that thou owest us aught, because we come up unto thy house, and that we walk not as this world. Lord, our thought of ourself, that is in pride and in upholding ourselves even in our deep fall. Lord, thou knowest our wretchedness. Oh, if we would only see, if we would only acknowledge our wretchedness and our guilt and our fall, that we are lying polluted in our own blood, and that we have ourselves brought ourselves into this greatest of miseries. Oh, if we would but acknowledge our guilt and our sin, oh, then there would be hope in thee and in thine only begotten Son. But Lord, we cannot find that hope because we will not bow, because we will not acknowledge, because we will not worship thee. Oh, Lord, wilt thou open our poor blind eyes, that thou may give us to see, and that thou may give us understanding hearts. Lord, shall it not be so to the honor and to the glory of thy only begotten Son, and when he would become precious in our eyes, oh, that we might see our need for him as the blessed Savior of those who are lost, that we may see his preciousness, and when we are not able to save ourselves, oh, that we may see how suitable that he is, as he that is the way, the truth, and the life. For one who knows not the way, who has joined him that is the liar from the beginning, and those who have fallen dead, oh, that we may see something of his beauty, that we may be brought to acknowledge our own sin and wretchedness, that thy dear Son may be exalted in our hearts. Lord, work thou with thy Holy Spirit. O come thou from thy side, thou from whom all blessings must flow. Then it is thy holy day and thy holy word. And Lord, have we not also been sent by thee to do this labor and to open our mouth, to show unto men his iniquity, and to blow upon the trumpet that we have sinned against thee and that we are traveling to our own destruction? Oh, hast thou not commanded us to take forth the precious from the vile and to put forth the blessed name of thy only begotten Son, that some may also come to trust in him. Oh, that the children also of thy church, and that they may be given to set their hope in God. Oh, look upon us then all together in thy mercy. Lord, another week that has gone by, and we are come a week closer to the day of our death. And once again, that has been experienced in the midst of us as a congregation. Lord, a young man in the flower of his age, in his very youth, and thou hast brought him into an accident in the week that has gone by. Lord, thou hast shown unto him in an outward way how close that we are unto death. And thou hast given him to experience with thy servant that there is but a step between me and death. O Lord, that thou may bind this upon his young heart, and all that his heart may flow out with a desire after thee who has spared him in his life, and given him to be enabled to continue. Oh, that thou may bind this matter of the seriousness of life upon his young heart, that his heart may be converted unto thee in the days of his youth. Oh, look upon his parents. Oh, do humble them together with all their children under this thy sparing mercy, and that thou may grant unto them hearts that may acknowledge thee in truth and in spirit. Lord, look upon us as a congregation. Oh, it is now as so many times that we may come to thy house and acknowledge thee for thy sparing hand over us. Thou hast made it different in the lives of other parents than in the years that are gone by. There have been accidents also, and they have been to the sorrow of their loved ones, and when they have brought them unto the grave, O Lord, that the callings may not testify against us. Oh, our hearts are so hard. They cannot be broken from our side. And there is nothing in this whole world that is able to convert us unto thee. Oh, give us then to feel something of the hardness of our heart, but that we also may in this day feel something, experience something of the power of thy voice, and that voice which is so powerful, that voice that is so full of majesty, that it can speak one word and we shall be raised from the dead. Oh, look thou upon us then, traveling for our own account. Remember also all thy dear children. Oh, do instruct them further in the steps of grace, and that thou may bring them more and more to a knowledge of self and a knowledge of thee, and that thou may glorify thy name in the midst of thy people. Look upon him that was in the hospital in this past week. Thou hast made all things well, and thou hast spared him again, and thou hast delivered him. Lord, that thou may humble him also with his wife and family together, and that thou may supply in the future for the body, and give him yet a good day in thy house, in thy mercy. Be with all that are in the hospitals or in their homes in affliction and in sickness, also those that are relatives of those in our midst, in the weakness of the body. Lord, that thou may strengthen them in mercy, and supply in all the needs and the cares of this life. And wilt thou be with all those that have special needs? Wilt thou supply, and wilt thou look upon widows, widowers, and orphans, and all that are handicapped, the blind, the lame, and the invalid ones in this world? Go thou before thy servants, those who are truly called and sent by thee. Lord, thou knowest they are not those that have strength in themselves and ability in themselves to go forth to do the labors which thou hast laid upon their shoulders. And it is so necessary that also we receive Aaron's and hers in the midst of the congregations, that thou may help those over the length and the breadth of this world that are called to speak and not to be silent, and that have no words to speak, who must say, I am but a child. Lord, that thou may fill us then with thy Holy Spirit, and that thou may open thy word this day, that we may be able to bring it forth with freedom, and that thou may go before us in thy mercy. O supply thou from above. Drive out all that would hinder us in speaking and in listening. And be thou in the midst of us in mercy as one that serveth. O hear us, Lord, undeservedly for the sake of thy great and holy name. For Jesus' sake. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 440, stanzas 2, 4, and 5. Will the Lord cast off forever ties of covenant friendship sever? Will he show his face no more as he did in days of yore? Will the word to Israel spoken by our father's God be broken? Must we in our grief complain that his promises are vain? 2, 4, and 5 of Psalter 440. Congregation, the words of our text for this morning hour can be found in the Song of Solomon. The Song of Solomon, in the first chapter, and thereof the third verse. Song of Solomon 1, verse 3. Because of the savor of thy good ointments, thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore, do the virgins love thee. So far the words of our text. The love of the virgins. First, who these virgins are. And second, the cause of these virgins' love. The love of the virgins. First, who these virgins are. And second, the cause of these virgins' love. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. That was, we have heard it, the bride. She was speaking. The bride who we have heard is well advanced in the knowledge and the experience of her bridegroom. But we read that she is missing him. But she is missing the daily, the sensible manifestations of his love and the tokens of his favor, his communion to her soul. Therefore, she desires, she is asking, she is longing, let him kiss me, let him come again, let him show himself to me. Thus it is a church that is led into the further steps of grace. But where is that church taught? That church is taught in the wilderness. That church is taught lessons in a dry and barren land in this world. Then it is going so different than their expectations had thought. John says he must increase. And I must decrease. But how does that happen? That happens in the way of self-knowledge. Thus that through church that must learn its utter dependency. That through church that must learn that without me, ye can do nothing. She cannot give to herself one tear. She cannot give to herself one true desire, one true longing after that true and that living God. Much less can that church give unto herself faith. Thus she has to learn what she is remaining in herself, even after received grace. She has to learn that she is remaining only a sepulchre of sin. She cannot keep herself from sin if she is not kept by the Lord. She cannot give anything to herself. That is a church that is going to know. They are going to feel. They are going to experience that they are not the author. That they did not give grace unto themselves. That they are not the preserver of the work of the Lord. No, in heaven, there will be a church that will sing to the great glory of God and for a one-sided sovereign work of God. That is a lesson that that church will learn in her life, that lesson of the bride. That is not an easy life. To increase in self-knowledge because there is nothing good to be found in us. And man will continually lift himself up. What does that mean? That it is a life wherein the Lord is continually breaking down his people. And that is naturally, congregation, not something that is according to our flesh. And then what do? Then they are often calling to mind former days. They are often calling to mind those days when it was different. Well, those days when it was lively. Those days when they went with expectation, great expectation, unto the house of God with the multitude, with the joy, a voice of joy and of praise. Oh, then they are looking back. Then they are longing that they would only receive a little bit of what they may have felt and experienced in the past. Then they remember those days that they may receive the kisses of His mouth. And that they may experience that His love that was better than wine. Oh, and then they desire that they may know this again. Sometimes, then that bride is jealous, even of the daughters of Jerusalem. The daughters of Jerusalem, who are they again? They are those who do not even know yet this bridegroom. Yes, they are those in the beginning of the way. Yes, they are those in whom the love of God has been planted. But they know nothing of the second person. They know nothing of the need for Him. They know nothing of His preciousness. They know nothing of His value. They say, "What is thy beloved more than another beloved?" And sometimes that experienced bride, oh, she is looking back in her life and she is looking over the church of God. And she may see also those young ones that are so tender yet in their heart. Those young ones that do not want to sin against the Lord. Oh, those young ones, and they are seeking with a burning heart. And then when she remembers those days, then she thinks that those young ones, oh, they are closer to seeing, they are closer to that bridegroom than even she is. Then she is speaking to those daughters of Jerusalem. Then she says, if you find Him, oh, when you see Him, if you find my beloved, then tell Him something. Oh, and then speak to Him when you are upon your knees. And when the Lord gives you to see Him. And when the Lord comes over for you. And when you may be in the presence of the Holy. Oh, then will you speak to Him. And will you also mention unto Him my name? If you find my beloved, will you tell Him that I am sick of love? Oh, tell Him. And tell Him that I remember those former days. Oh, tell Him that I am also waiting, that I am also looking, that I am also longing for a visit from Him. Oh, jealous. Jealous even of the youngest ones in grace. She is longing, oh, let Him kiss me. And with the kisses of His mouth, for thy love is better than wine. And then in a special way, she is looking at the virgins. Oh, she is remembering also this time in her life. And now, who are once again those virgins? Well, the virgins. They are not yet married unto that bridegroom. Thus, they are not here as the bride. They have not yet been led as far as the bride. And yet, they are also not as the daughters of Jerusalem. And what is the difference? Well, they are not complete strangers of that bridegroom. They have been, as it were, introduced to Him. He has been revealed to their soul. The Lord has shown them something of who that this bridegroom is. By Jeremiah, the Lord speaks about those in the time of the love of her espousals. And the Lord says, I remember thee. I remember thee in the kindness of thy youth, when you are still young. I remember thee in the love of thine espousals. When thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in a land that was not sown, O Israel was holiness unto the Lord. He was the first fruits of his increase. Oh, then there was that special time in the life of his church wherein he has drawn her and that she has run after him. Thus there was a church, and there remains a church that is going out after this bridegroom. Yes, they are led. They are led further than these daughters of Jerusalem. They have been given to see something of form. They have been given to see something of comeliness in this bridegroom. And yet, oh, yet they are not led as far yet as this bride. No, they cannot say that they are married unto him, as that bride is able to say. Not that they are not engrafted into that living vine, because that is taking place from the side of the Lord already in regeneration. But how is it in the life of that people? Oh, then they have not heard yet his voice. Then he has not yet spoken unto them to say to them, behold, I am married unto you. Thus we see the steps wherein the Lord is leading his church in their life. There is a people that have been brought unto that wicked gate. Oh, there they have seen an opening. There that way in all their impossibility. Then they have seen that there is a way. And when they thought that there was for them no way, there they have rejoiced and trembled. A church that has gone through that wicked gate, but they have not yet come unto the cross. They have not yet received the conscious forgiveness of their sin. That is a life between the revelation and the application. And now that bride, and that bride that may be further led in her life, she is looking back. And then she speaks about the love of these virgins. Therefore, she says, do the virgins love thee, or with sorrow, with grief? As she is looking back in her life and remembering this time in her life. Oh, that time when the love of Christ that was in her so pure, just that is as it is in the heart of a virgin. But now the Lord has to complain about her. And the Lord has to rightly complain about her. That she is an harlot. And that she has gone after other lovers. That she has gone after the vanity and after the carnality of this world. That she has been as Solomon, who has desired that the Lord would help him, that the Lord would go before him. That she has begun so pure in her life. But later, oh, later then he has regressed. Later then he has gone step by step to depart from the ways of the Lord. And he has gone finally even into the temple of the gods of his heathen wives. Oh, so many pressures that it was not easy for him to return again. It is his own fault. He has left the ways of the Lord. And thus there are times in the life of that established church. Though she has been led so far, though she has experienced so much in her life, that in her condition she is jealous of those days when she was younger. Hosea says there comes a time for that established bride when she says, I will go and I will return to my former husband, for then it was better with me than it is now. And that is her desire when she remembers the blessedness of long ago. And when she is looking upon the love of these virgins, and she says, let him kiss me, oh, let it come from his side. Why? Oh, she remembers. She remembers where that love came from. That was not a love that came from herself. Now we see that in the second thought, the cause of these virgins' love. What does it say? Therefore, do the virgins love thee? Those virgins have not been led so far as that bride, no. And yet, oh, what a blessedness that those virgins may experience in their life. It is a time of love. It is a time of love not only for God, but also a love which is now going out after the Son of God. We heard last time, that is not something that comes out of our own heart. That is not a fruit of our own field. We heard last time how necessary it is that the Lord is breaking down everything in a person, that he may make room, that he may show the preciousness of the Son of God. Thus it needs to be worked in the life of a man, that we may see comeliness in him, that we may see form in him. But now the bride says, now there came a time. Oh, there came a time in her life that her love that was drawn out after this bridegroom. Therefore, do the virgins love thee? And now that bride can sometimes look back with longing. But do you know what she says? She says, I cannot give it unto myself again. No, just as I could not give it unto myself the first time, so I cannot give it unto myself by renewal. And this she has to experience in a living way. Else she may think that there is lying something in herself when there is in herself absolutely nothing, but she is so dependent upon that bridegroom. Therefore, she says, do the virgins love thee? Why? Not because of them, but because of thee. She says, it is because of the savor of thy good ointments. Thus, what does she do? She makes a comparison. She is making a comparison with the scent, with the fragrance, with the aroma of the anointing oils. Then, boys and girls, when you would take such a fragrance of an anointing oil, very precious in very small bottles because of its great expense, and then you will open the lid from that bottle, and then you will immediately experience a very sweet, a very refreshing smell. Oh, how pleasant that is to our senses. It is a wonder. If there may be anything that may be enjoyed in this world after the fall, after that we have sinned against the Lord, that everything is not wretchedness and misery, but that there are still some likenesses left in this world, that the Lord may compare the best things that are to be enjoyed in the soul to those things that we may know of are pleasant and refreshing in this life. Thus, something that is drawing unto the senses of man. And what is it now that she is comparing to this pleasant aroma, this fragrance of these anointing oils? Oh, then she is comparing the heavenly graces by which the Son of God has been anointed. They are to be bestowed also upon the church of God. Oh, that the smell of those graces may also be enjoyed, may be experienced, may be to the drawing of his church.
And then in all their sweetness, they may be experienced in a lively way by times in the midst of the world in which that they are dwelling. That they may be as a refreshment in all of their misery. The heavenly graces, the blessed divinity of the Son of God, all His power, His strength, His power over sin, and that He is able to conquer sin, His power, His might over the world and over the prince of darkness, so strong that He is able even to bruise His head, to take away His power. All the heavenly graces, wherewith that Son of God He has been endued, mercy even through justice, the ever-abiding faithfulness, the heavenly graces, even His humanity, along with and abiding with His blessed divinity, His blessed works, His active, His passive obedience, His passion, His suffering, His death, His perfect obedience unto the law of God, to bring in life for His church, to pay their debt. Oh, the blessed perfections of that Son of God, His holiness, His righteousness, His acceptability with His Father. The heavenly graces, His ordinances, His day, His word, His love, His blessed gospel, the good news that is preached unto the poor, the covenant that He has made with His only begotten Son, the unbreakableness of that covenant, the savor we read of Thy good ointments. And where are they laid up? They are laid up in the Son of God. But those ointments, they may not be shut up. Those ointments may not just be sealed. But those ointments, they have also, we read here, to be poured forth. Thus, the Lord will not receive His glory when all those heavenly graces that have been bestowed upon His only begotten Son, when they will be hidden from mankind, then no man will glorify and magnify God because of what He has given in His only begotten Son. No, when that bottle, boys and girls, when that little bottle, that cap that is remaining on that bottle, then we smell and we enjoy nothing of the sweet aroma of the spices of the ointment that is inside of that bottle. But what has to happen, then that bottle has to be undone. And then that lid that has to be taken off. And when that lid is taken off, oh, then we shall experience the blessedness and the beauty of all that is lying within. Thus the savor of the divinity of Christ, oh, the savor of that divinity that is experienced by those who have no strength within themselves. Then that divinity that becomes for that people so precious, so blessed. And now what does Solomon say? How does it go? How is that now in the experience of the church of God? Then he says that the experience of those graces, that is not just as ointment, but what does it say, young people? It says it is as ointment poured forth. That is as if we were to take this bottle of ointment and not only to open the lid so that the aroma may ascend out, but it is just as if we were to open this bottle and pour forth that ointment and empty out that bottle completely. Children, then you can imagine
how that no one will be able to make the scent of this aroma to be contained anymore. But the strength of that smell that is going to go forth in all of its power, then you will experience something of the liberality. You will experience something of the abundance, of the blessedness that there is in this ointment. And thus, the Spirit of the Lord is inspiring the writer of this volume to pen. As ointment poured forth, so that he may give to us just a little sense of what is experienced in the heart of that church. When the graces that are bestowed upon that Son of God, when they may be applied also in the life of the people, then it is not just as a little blessedness, but it is as a blessedness that is poured forth. It is as a blessedness that the people are not able to contain. Then they must experience something of the abundance of the grace of God. That where sin abounded, there they must say that grace that did so much more abound. That it is something that is diffusing itself into every corner. It is something that is impossible for man to limit in this life. But that is spreading itself over mankind. And that may be enjoyed in the greatness of the sweetness and the blessedness of its beauty. All those graces, they are now experienced by these virgins. And the bride, she is remembering these days. And she is looking back with longing upon these days. That has been experienced by that bride when? All that has been experienced in the revelation of that bridegroom, that has been experienced in the opening of the mystery of free and of sovereign grace. They were the first days that Son of God, that second person, that he has become so precious to the soul of the people, when he has revealed himself in all their impossibility. Oh, in that day that all their righteousness that has become as filthy rags. Oh, when they have no longer been able to uphold themselves in all of their own uprightness. Then the Lord has opened something. Then the Lord has shown to them something that they have never seen before in their life. Oh, then the Lord has revealed to them what we read is a new and a living way. Oh, then the Lord has declared to them the name of the Son of God. That only name given under heaven among men, whereby we must be saved. And in that moment, oh, that name that has become so precious to their soul. It was as ointment poured forth. And then the desire of the heart, oh, that began to go out not only after God, but also after the Son of God. Why? Because then they may see it is the Son of God alone, who is able to bring me again into the presence and into the favor and into the communion of that God whom I have so come to love. Because of the savor of thy good ointments, thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. None, from the beginning of the world unto the end of the world, have ever loved Christ, who have never smelled something of these good ointments. It is not smelled by everyone. For many it is shut up. For many that is that so, congregation, in our life also, in this morning hour? You say, Minister, I know nothing of this savor. You say that it is contained in that bottle. But I have never smelled it. It remains there. Oh, that lid from that bottle, from that ointment, I must confess. Yes, I know, I have heard, I have memorized. Oh, how precious is that Son of God to His people. But to say now that I have smelt something of it, that it has come into my senses, that it has been something that has been pleasing also to me, the name of that Son of God, that is something that I must say. No, I miss this in my life, thy name, as ointment poured forth. Oh, did it ever become so in our life? The Son of God, He has many names, very many names. Why? That He may reveal Himself. That He may show Himself. That He may become precious unto His church. And every name by which He reveals Himself, every name that is as ointment that is poured forth. And even when that people cannot embrace Him, even when that people are still as the virgins, even when they must say, I cannot say that I am married unto Him. No, but yet, oh, yet I may have experienced in my life something of the blessedness of this name, that I have seen the preciousness, that I have seen His beauty, and that my soul that has by moments also taken refuge unto Him, that I may be hidden in Him, oh, may we ever savor that name of that Son of God. Let us sing first. 400. 404 through 7. Heaven and earth, the Lord created, seas and all that they contain. He delivers from oppression, righteousness He will maintain. 4 through 7 of 400. because of the savour of thy good ointments. Thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. It is, congregation, the work of the Holy Spirit to direct the love of the virgins, that virgin's love may be pure, that virgin's love may be only upon this bridegroom, that it may be only reserved for him and for none other. And for this purpose, then he is bringing them to the end of the law. And that law, using it as a schoolmaster unto Christ. Oh, and it's when he is cutting them off from all of their own labors, that he is revealing himself in all of his preciousness. And then he has so many names. And why so many names? He has so many names because he reveals himself in so many different ways. And why is it necessary to reveal himself in so many different ways? Because he will make himself suitable exactly to the case of his church. And what now comes first, children? There are three things: misery, deliverance, and gratitude. It goes no other way. But how does a person experience misery? That is not all the same. That is so in this life. Why is man so miserable in this world? Well, the one is sick, and he languishes away in his disease. And the other is daily in pain. In another place, there is nothing but disagreement, misery, hell sometimes. Then there are those who are separated from one another. And so they feel that separation, and they mourn over that separation every day. And so the misery that is in this world, that is experienced in so many different ways. Some go through this world in great poverty. As some have crossed providences one upon the other. And thus the deliverance out of these miseries, that is all different also. And yet, when there will be praise, when there will be glory, then it is necessary that first that misery is experienced and then the deliverance. It is so also in that spiritual life. That a man learns first what his misery is. That is the reality that is due to our deep fall. But how is it that a man experiences his misery? Yes, they are each and every one poor. Yes, they are each and every one sinful. But for one, that one thing is brought into the foreground, and for someone else, it is something else. Thus, for the one, it is his transgression. But he has sinned against that law of God. For the other, it is his separation. And that he has left God and that he misses his Maker. For another one, it is his rebellion. That rebellion that is living within his heart against the Lord. For another one, that is a missing of the mark. He sees wherefore that the Lord has created him. And he sees that his entire life that is against the Lord. For another one, it is his corruption. Then he feels the holiness of God. And he goes over this world feeling how corrupt and how sinful that his wretched heart is. Thus, no, that is not the same in the experience of our misery. And now for every malady,
There is a remedy in the names of Christ. So that the Lord is giving himself to be experienced in his exact suitability to every single one of his people. And when the Lord is revealing himself in such a way, then his name, oh, that name of that Son of God, then that is so precious in the eyes of the people, then it is a name that is experienced to be as ointment poured forth, O congregation. Did you ever therefore experience your misery as one who is sick, as one who is sin sick in this world? That you say from the crown of my head to the sole of my foot, wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. Oh, must you experience that misery, even as the lepers in this world that were unable to cure themselves from their awful disease. And in all your wretchedness, oh, has he ever revealed himself in his name, physician? The great physician that is able to take away every sickness and every disease. The great physician who is able to wash you and to cleanse you and to make you a holy and pure before God. Oh, if he has revealed himself in such a way in all your malady, oh, then for sure, then his name was unto you as ointment poured forth. Oh, then your heart that has gone out after that name. Oh, then you have begun to seek after him. And your heart was burning after that Son of God. That he may cleanse you and that he may bring you again into that blessed communion with your Maker. Oh, have you ever felt something of that breach? Have you ever felt something of that separation? Have you ever seen that great gulf that is between God and your soul? Oh, have you ever felt something of the wrath of God upon you, and that you were not able to reconcile yourself anymore to him? Oh, that the little that you could try to do in this life, that your holiest deeds, oh, they were filthy in the sight of a righteous and a holy God. And did he ever reveal himself to you? Did he ever show himself to you in his blessed name of Mediator, as the one who has come to bring two disagreeing parties into a reconciliation with one another again? Oh, as he that was able to do it from his own side, when you were not able to reconcile yourself unto God. Oh, if he has so revealed himself to your soul, then his name Mediator, that has been so precious, oh, that has been ointment poured forth, oh, then you have felt something of the liberality of that name. Oh, how that the abundance of the love of God in sending forth this Mediator into this world for such a creature as you are, then you were not able to magnify and to glorify God sufficiently for that blessed name Mediator. Oh, have you experienced the rebellion in your heart against the Lord? Has the rebellion of your heart indeed been your misery? That in your heart there was nothing but resistance to the Lord? That you do nothing but go your own way? That you are just as your father Adam, who has turned his back upon the Lord? And that you are not able to make this rebellious will? That you are not able to bring that into a subjection to the will of God? Oh, has he ever revealed himself? Has he ever revealed himself by his name of willing servant? Oh, he who was so willing to be obedient to his Father, that he may take the place of those who have rebelled against him. Oh, then that name of willing servant, and that has been so precious to you, then it has been as ointment that has poured forth, and you were not able to stop that flow of love, that flow of love of the virgins that has gone out in seeking after this name. Oh, what is your misery, congregation? Did you ever experience your misery? Did you ever experience your misery as one who has chosen that side of Satan so willingly? And that Satan, he has now, when you have joined yourself unto him, that Satan, he is now holding you in your grasp, and that you are now not able to free yourself from the clutches of a triple-headed enemy? Oh, has he ever revealed himself to your soul? That blessed Son of God, even in his blessed names, who we read in the Holy Scriptures, he calls himself as the one that is stronger than he. Oh, the one that is stronger than Satan. The one that is stronger than he that will not let you go. And that keeps your heart in cohorts with himself in seeking after everything that is in this world and that is bringing you to your everlasting destruction. Oh, when he has revealed himself. When he has shown himself to your soul by that name, the one that is stronger than he, oh, then that blessed name that is as ointment that is poured forth, and then you have relished this name of God. Oh, is death your misery? That you are not able, that you have a heart that is so hard, that you have a heart that is so cold, that you cannot give unto yourself one good thought, not one sigh, not one cry, nothing that is spiritual, but that you have a heart that is nothing but dead in trespasses and sins? Is that your grief as you go over this world? And has he ever revealed himself to your soul? Or has he ever shown himself? May you ever read that in the Word of God? May you ever hear that from in the preaching of the Word? May you ever be by yourself, young people, and that you may read in the Word of God, and that you may see that he calls himself life. Life. And that your heart that has gone out after him, that you see that where there is one that is dead, and there is one that is not able to deliver himself from death, that there is one whose name is life, and one that is able to say, even as Lazarus, as he said unto Lazarus, Lazarus, come forth. And then your heart, oh, then your heart, oh, that has gone so after that name that was to you as ointment poured forth, O congregation, how? Have you ever experienced your misery? Is it your lost condition? Oh, do you go over this world? You say, I've lost the path as an animal, and that he has gone out of his pen and he does not know how to come back again. And I do not know the road and I do not know the path. Oh, has he revealed himself? Has he shown himself? Has he said, I am the way, I am the road, I am the path, oh, by me. If any man will enter in, he shall go in and he shall go out and he shall find pasture. What is your misery? What is your misery? Oh, can you not die? Do you not dare to stand before God? Do you not dare to have to give an answer to your judge? Oh, has he revealed himself as the surety? Has he revealed himself as the one who stands between a sinner and God to give an answer when you are not able to give one answer to 1,000 questions? Oh, then that name. Then that name surety, congregation, then that was as ointment. It was as ointment poured forth. What is your misery? Is it darkness? Has he revealed his name to you that he is the light? Oh, are you on the outside? Is that your misery? Has he revealed himself as the door? Oh, is your darkness your misery? Has he revealed himself as the light? Oh, is your pollution your misery? Has he revealed himself as the purifier of silver? Oh, then his name, that is as ointment poured forth. And then you experience something. You experience something of the aroma. You experience something of the blessedness of that name of God because of the savor of thy good ointments. Thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore, do the virgins love thee. There is nothing.
Young people, there is nothing so sweet and so precious in this whole world as that name of Jesus Christ for a poor sinner. As ointment poured forth, do you believe it? Oh, if we have never tasted it, if we have never smelled something of that aroma, it is not because it is not sweet. No, do you know what Solomon says? He says, the full soul loatheth in honeycomb. The full soul loatheth in honeycomb. Is that because the honeycomb is not sweet? No, it is not because the honeycomb is not sweet. It is because there's no place for the honeycomb. And that is now what is standing in the way. That congregation is now what is standing in the way. Oh, his name that is as ointment poured forth. But if there is no room, and if our soul is full, then we loathe that honeycomb. But to the hungry man, every bitter thing is sweet. Oh, do you understand? Do you understand where we must go? And what we need to ask for, all that room, that place may be made for this name. Are there those that are not strangers of that name and that love of these virgins? Or has your wretched, your incurable heart ever been allured to that bridegroom? That is the effect, not of the will of man. No, never. Heard it last time. Never. It is the effect of the pouring forth of the good ointments, the graces that are coming from that Son of God. Oh, beware then. Beware then of your flesh. Oh, if you may know something of that love. And if you may know something of that drawing, beware of your flesh. That your flesh may not be drawn once again after other lovers, because then you will mourn one day with that bride, but people of the Lord. Oh, your experience that is now laid out in the Word of God, that bride in her missing, in her longing, in her guilt. Is it not so? That is the way of that true church of God. Though it is her own fault, still it is for her own good. That she may increase in self-knowledge. And that marriage, when he says, I am married unto you, that is not as the marriages in this world. They are just for a moment. But that marriage is forever. And yet, you have to experience so often the separation. It is in the way of longing. It is in the way of hungering. It is in the way of returning from other lovers, from the lovers of this world, that the Lord is coming again. But we need every time to come on the outside. To decrease, that is the great lesson of the life of the bride. And in the end, it is going to be an everlasting wonder when that bride will be taken in. And then his name, that is going to be eternally as ointment poured forth. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, thy name that is as ointment poured forth, but we cannot see it and we cannot smell it. Oh, there is nothing that goes forth from it if thou keepest it shut up, O Lord. If thou dost not pour it out, oh, give place for it in our hearts. Oh, have dealings with us, Lord. Have dealings with us and our dear children, that he may become so precious to us, that we may glorify by beginnings his name here below already, and that we may not sing a strange song one day. Look upon us in this day, humble us under all thy blessings. Bless thy word, forgive our many sins, bring us safely to our homes, and give us desire to be together again in this afternoon hour. We ask it in Jesus' name. Remember also him that will serve the other part of our congregation. Oh, be with them also, and bless them with thy blessings from above, for Jesus' sake. Amen. 432, stanzas 2 and 3. A God who rules in state is in Zion great. He excels in worth all that dwell on earth. Honor and acclaim his exalted name. All ye high and lowly, he alone is holy. 2 and 3 of 432. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. And the Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.